is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings on a Tuesday as we welcome you into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Also live on DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Got a great hour ahead. VSiN's own Mike Pritchard, our lead NFL analyst, going to get the lowdown from him, a former wide receiver. All of the news that came out yesterday with Justin Jefferson securing the bag. We'll also have Michael's top five players under 25 in the NFL a little bit later. But as Justin Jefferson gets his big contract yesterday, Michael, we led the show with it. Here we're leading the show with another big contract that gets done. Christian McCaffrey agrees to a two-year extension with the San Francisco 49ers, adding to what was already the most lucrative deal we've ever seen for a running back in NFL history. But if you ask me, Michael, he's still not getting paid enough for what he does for this team.
Well, he's so versatile. That's the key. You know, he can do it from a lot of different ways, and he's tough to defend, and he forces the defense to play sub-defense when he's on the field, but then he's got enough power to run the football. He led the 49ers in broken tackles, and if he stays healthy, the way Kyle formations people and utilizes the personnel. Look, I think what the 49ers are doing is setting everything up where I think eventually Debo is going to be the odd man out.
Okay.
But what they really are doing is they're building their team now around the fact that they know Brock Purdy is going to be their starter. He's going to be the guy. And they've got two more years in an economic value contract before they can touch it. They can't touch it. They can't go to it. He can't complain. And so they're lining up all their ducks here to make sure that their team is good. So when they really do that contract for Purdy, they can keep the team intact. Yeah. And the two-year extension for McCaffrey takes great care of himself. He takes great pride. I mean, he may not be involved in the OTA days, but he's working out on his own, and he's making sure his body's ready. So I think it's a smart play. Again, we classify McCaffrey as a running back. He's a weapon. He's a weapon on offense. And when you're a weapon on offense, the pay scale should shift. Let me ask you this. Would you trade McCaffrey for Christian Kirk?
No, I wouldn't trade him for anything.
He's That's the most, what I said last year. The Raiders are paying. They paid Hunter Renfrow, who can't even get a job today, right? He's out of. They paid Hunter Renfrow $16 million, and they wouldn't pay Josh Jacobs, who is a five-time better player than Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow can come in and run an option route on third down, but Jacobs could run option routes. Jacobs was really good in the receiver role. Like, if you're good in receiving, you can make the money. We just stereotype players. They're not just runners. They're weapons. Now, if you're just a runner, I can't pay you. I got to find somebody else. But if you can line up in a slot and run routes and not rely on just screens, like Todd Gurley was so good for the Rams because he could play in the passing game, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, he's a different type of a player. Why he won Offensive Player of the Year last year, over 1,500 yards in the run game, over 500 yards in the receiving game, 7 receiving touchdowns. He's just such a difference maker. By the way, second shortest shot to repeat as Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL. Tyreek Hill is your favorite. CeeDee Lamb sitting third on the odds board. With that in mind, Brandon Ayuk, who, of course, any of these other contracts are going to impact him. He did not show up at mandatory minicamp, whereas CMC did. CeeDee Lamb also not on site. Micah Parsons was available. We saw Tyreek Hill as well as Tua Tagovailoa out there with the Miami Dolphins. The team that I had the big question about that we didn't get to earlier in the program, Michael, was the New York Jets. And Hassan Reddick, who has not been there at OTAs, newly traded from the Philadelphia Eagles. He, of course, would like an updated contract himself as well. He'll be there at mandatory minicamp. But when Robert Saleh is being asked about Hassan Reddick, he says that he hasn't talked to him. Like, first of all, how is that possible? And then how is his comeback when being asked about whether or not that's normal or not? He says, oh, it's not unusual.
Well, how is it that unusual? You just gave up a third-round pick that can become a second-round pick if conditions are met for a player that you don't even talk to, who lives in the area. Wouldn't you just drive over and say hello?
You would think.
Wouldn't you pick up the telephone and text him and say hello? Look, this Riddick trade for the Jets, nobody wants to talk about it, right? Joe Douglas just gets away with it, and it's got to be one of the worst deals. The world knew. I mean, Bella, my dog, knew that the Eagles were signing Bryce Huff. She knew it, right? She knew it. Everybody knew they wanted Bryce Huff. They wanted Bryce Huff, I'm told. They wanted Bryce Huff going back to when they were preparing their free agent board. They wanted Bryce Huff back in December. That's how much they wanted him. The Jets knew they wanted him. The Jets easily could have said, okay, we're going to franchise Bryce Huff, keep him here, and then we'll trade him to Philly to get a pick. No, what do the Jets do? They let him out there. The Eagles get him. Now, understand the Eagles are going to cut Riddick so that they can get the money for Huff, and the Jets turn around and give a third-round pick for Riddick. Like, how is that general managing? Like, I'm sitting in an office in Ocean City, and I know they want to sign Huff. If I'm the GM of the Jets, I'm saying, okay, you're tampering with my player? I'll franchise him. I'll create the cap room to make sure I have him under contract. I got plenty of time to do it. Howie, you call me on the phone and you start making offers to me if you want him. I don't want Riddick. You got Riddick's your own problem. He wants a new contract. He played like crap last year. You deal with Riddick, I'll take Huff. But what do? They turn around and give a third round pick to him. And nobody's called him out on it at all. No one's called him out on it at all.
I love when you get hot on things, Michael. Riddick on the final year of a 3-year contract that calls for him to get paid $15 million. None of it guaranteed. He's not showing up. But Michael, for me, this feels like it's just so classic Jets. Like he's the perfect fit in all of this because it's just so typical for what we've come to expect from this organization.
How can you be the leader of the organization? You're Robert Saleh. You're playing golf. You're talking about all the stuff you love to do. And you don't have the time to get in touch. And if you're Joe Douglas and you know that Riddick wants a new contract, before you give up a third round pick, you say to Howie, look, I want to talk to the agent. I want to see what I'm getting into here. Like, I'm not trading for Riddick if I don't know what I'm getting into. I'm not trading for Riddick. I'm not taking your problem off your hands for a third round pick to then make it my problem. I'm not doing that. Like, let me talk to the agent. Let me find out what I'm dealing with here. Let me see what's going on. There's no general manager in the league that would have traded for Riddick without a deal. If you wanted to give him a deal. And so now they're laying in this mud, this dirt that I haven't talked. And then he's promoting that he hasn't talked to him.
Which is so weird.
This is how, I mean, Salah's like, could you just at least pretend you know what you're doing?
So this is the thing.
It's a joke.
And I've said this to you before in the past, Michael, like coming from San Francisco when he was the defensive coordinator, I was such a Robert Saleh fan. He, as a head coach, is just every move he makes is a head scratcher, and I don't understand it. And he's supposed to be this leader of men, the person who communicates the message. Every opportunity that he's had at a podium to say the right thing or cover his tracks or make it look like this is at least an organized franchise, he hasn't been able to do it. And I don't understand it. Like, there are just certain things that you know that you can say and that you can't say in front of a microphone, and he always finds a way to say the wrong thing. It's mind-boggling. So to me, if this Jets team does have a successful season this year and Aaron Rodgers is as masterful as like he's been portrayed to be when everybody fell in love last season and was buying the hype, then I'm giving all of that credit to Aaron Rodgers. I'm giving all of that credit to the players and none of it to Robert Saleh. The fact that his odds have shortened for coach of the year is unbelievable to me. Okay, so that's what's on my mind,
Michael.
It just
shows you.
But I wanted.
I love it. It just shows you how popular the popular vote. I mean, Saleh's like the back lot at Universal. He looks like a head coach, but when you open the door, there's nobody. There's no house.
Such a good line.
You know, it's like nothing's there. You get nothing out of it. Like, I mean, give me a break. I've been screaming it for 4 years. He's just a cheerleader. Now he's working with the offense. But let's not excuse Joe Douglas from this conversation, who is, you can't touch Joe Douglas. I mean, the guy's making $6 million a year, got one of the highest paid GM jobs in the league. Everybody loves Joe Douglas. Of course, Jimmy Sexton got it done. Everybody loves Sexton because Douglas got this ridiculously high contract that gave everybody else numbers to jump up to. And yet here he is making trades and nobody's saying a thing about it. Riddick's sitting out there saying, well, you traded for me. I'm your mess. Meanwhile, the New York writers are sleeping at the switch. And then Rich Cimini puts it out there that they haven't had any contact with him. I mean, and you're going to put your money behind this team to win? Seriously, you know something's going to happen that they're not going to win. You know it. They might start 10-0. They'll end up 10-7.
Okay, Michael, real quickly, because we've only got 2 minutes left this segment, I got to push us forward. It appears Kyrie Irving is an avid listener of the Lombardi Line based on this quote. Take a listen to Irving yesterday.
Learn how to move on and let go of the past. It could cripple you if you allow it to, you know, because I've been bombarded with Boston questions since I left, you know, because I didn't mind after a few years taking the brunt of the blame, you know, one of the best players in the world. So I know what comes with that fair criticism. We're still human at the end of the day, and I wasn't my best self during that time. So when I look back on it, I just see it as a time where I learned how to let go of things and learned how to talk through my emotions. You know, I came into the league at 19 years old, not knowing how to be a young man as of yet. Because this whole lifestyle was thrown at me. I was expected to do wondrous things, but I just wanted to continue to develop as a human being. And once I put that first, then, you know, you see me flourishing now. So it feels good.
Michael, Kyrie was in the office yesterday. You told him, don't run from your past, accept responsibility, be an adult. That was a great evidence of it there.
Yeah, I tip my hat to him. I mean, look, what are they going to say to him? You know, what he's accountable for his actions, which we all are. Look, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. I make them every day. You make them. We all make them. We're human, right? But one thing we have learned is, you know, it's about forgiveness. It's about, you know, you've got to let things go or else it eats up you inside. I mean, the great Don Henley wrote about that in one of his great songs, you know, in the heart of the matter. It's really about forgiveness. It's about moving on to something else. And if you carry it, the bitterness kills you. And it's one of the things that I always felt like because of my career in the NFL, I carried that with me. I was bitter about it. And then once you let it go, you end up becoming a better person. And I think that's what we see with Kyrie.
Yeah, I loved it. Great sound from him. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. Robert Saleh definitely makes mistakes. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Act now and save big for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $199, and we're throwing in an extra month for free when you use our promo code Lombardi. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets from VSiN show hosts and guests, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Don't miss out on the offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you need to go now, and use that promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and the bonus month. Again, that promo code Lombardi, L-O-M-B-A-R-D-I. So much of how we talk about the NFL and their contracts, Michael, which is such a big offseason topic, and it will be for years and years to come. But so much of it is based around their name value, where they came into the league, and where they were drafted, right? Well, we want to eliminate some of those outside factors with a little blind resume conversation here, specifically looking at some quarterbacks that have been hot trigger names in the league. Are you ready, Michael? Are you ready for the? Because
let's do
my
it.
Rundown has the names, yours doesn't, and I'm very excited to see how we do
okay.
this. So blind matchup
okay,
number
let's do
one.
It. Let's see what we're
looking at numbers from last year. Both players started 16 games last year. One with 4,100 yards, another with around 4,300. That first quarterback had 21 touchdowns. The second, 31. QB1 had 14 picks. The second quarterback had 11. The first quarterback's QBR, 56.1. The second, 72.8. So the second quarterback here, numbers across the board, significantly better. Do you know?
And can't get any love. He can't get any love from anybody. Those are Brock Purdy's numbers, 31 and 11. The other guy's Trevor Lawrence, and I love Trevor Lawrence. But Trevor Lawrence, you can't get any love out of Trevor. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is like, you know, he's going to make 55, you know, and he turns the ball over too much. Elliott didn't put this on there, is where Brock Purdy is average per attempt Remember, most of the year, Purdy was close to almost 10 yards per attempt passing, if you remember correctly. Whereas my man Trevor Lawrence, he's never gotten to over 7.1. That's the best he's ever been. I mean, that's the best he's ever been. Brock Purdy was at 9.9 yards per attempt. It's unheard of. Mm-hmm. It's unheard of. If you go through it, there's nobody, you know, I mean, he led it. The next closest guy, Stormy, take a guess who the next closest guy is.
What do we got?
C.J. Stroud at 8.7.
Yeah.
Think about this. I mean, the ball's going down the field. Lamar was at 8.4. Tua was only at 8.2, and he's got a track team playing for him.
Well, that's why I go back to, I laugh so much that, yes, he has weapons around him, obviously. But the game manager system quarterback thing to me doesn't get you to lead the league in yards per attempt, doesn't get you to lead the league in air yards per attempt, doesn't get you to lead the league in passer rating. It's not sheer luck, right? Like, these things come because the kid is talented and he knows how to work with all of those pieces around him. Also, by the way, I found this interesting too with Brock Purdy. 8 of those 11 interceptions that he had came in 3 games. So for him, right. When it rained, it poured, right? It was, he throws one interception a game, he would throw a couple. Two of those games he was concussed. That's exactly right. That's what I was going to say. I was like, 2 of those games he was freaking concussed. So keep that in mind as well. But Trevor Lawrence,
how is he not like a spokesman for somebody? The kid's overcome. You know, this is, I've got on Friday on my day off, I'm going to talk to a gentleman by the name of Rory Sutherland. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a vice chair for Ogilvy. He's written a lot of wonderful books. The Alchemist is one of them. And he's a behavioral scientist by trade, but he's in the advertising industry. And I approached him about talking about how the NFL draft is really a behavioral science event, not an evaluation event. Because when Brock Purdy goes the last pick in the draft and puts up these numbers, like, what is going on here? And I think you got to try to dig deeper into learning about it.
Well, and that's where I was going to go, Michael, because you have Trevor Lawrence, who is, considered a generational talent out of Clemson for all that he accomplished in college, a top pick. And he's given
I was one of those people on that bandwagon, Stormy. Indict me on that. Charge me with that crime. I was there,
well,
too.
I'm just saying, pushing it forward to the NFL, like, he's given the benefit of the doubt every single corner and everything that he does. Meanwhile, Brock Purdy, because of where he was drafted and because of where he went to college, he's not given that same look and that same love. Trevor Lawrence, by the way, we show the 14 interceptions. He also had a league high 21 total turnovers because he had 7 lost fumbles as well. But okay, we've gone too long on the one. You nailed it. You knew who they were right away. Let's put up blind resume number 2 with these quarterbacks. Both of them last year starting 17 games. QB1, 4,624 yards. QB2, 4,159. Touchdowns for QB1, 29. For QB2, 32. Interceptions, 14 for QB1, 11 for QB2. Passer rating for QB1, 60.8. 62.1 QBR for quarterback number 2. Do you know who either one of these quarterbacks are?
Well, the 4,624 number is Tua, because he led the league in passing with that number.
Well done.
So pass yards, I think that one is Tua. The 4,159 is Stroud, because he got over 4,000 yards. So those are my 2 guesses.
It's actually Jordan Love for QB2. 32 Ooh. Touchdowns, 11 picks, 4,159 yards.
Yes. What did Stroud get? He got 4,108. That's what he got. 4,108. Okay. So I missed that one, but it was Tua.
Okay.
You got me.
All
right.
Very close.
Good.
Yeah. You nailed Tua. I think those numbers go across your head in your sleep every night before you go to bed. Tua is just haunting you at night.
Well, I mean, the fact he threw 14 picks though, you know, when you think about it, you know, he threw 14 picks which is for a guy who's, you know, pretty careful with the football. But look, he's got great play. Look, I think to me, my whole thing with Tua is I don't hate Tua. I think Tua's a byproduct of the system. And if you're going to play in cold weather, good luck. Good luck with that. Now, Jordan Love, we had Simon on yesterday. He's not buying the carryover. I think he, you know, maybe he has a point. I am, but he's not. So that's what makes the world go round. But Love was very good.
Yeah. Brian Gutekunst saying on 97.3 The Game yesterday that he'd like to get an extension done for Jordan Love before training camp. And I just think it's interesting because we know that Tua is about to get paid. What does Jordan Love ultimately command with his extension? Let's do a wide receiver comparison here. Blind matchup number three. One of these two receivers has played 66 games in their career, 5,145 receiving yards, 32 touchdowns on 395 receptions, a three-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, and one-time second-team All-Pro. Wide receiver number two, six fewer games played, around 700 more yards receiving, 30 receiving touchdowns on 392 receptions, so similar in that wheelhouse. An offensive player of the year honor, three-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro.
One of the guys is Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's 20. It's the 60-game starter, right? I think Chase is one of those guys. And since we're in the thing, I'm going to guess Brandon Ayuk on the other guy just because I know I could. When you read it, I think you read it with love more than anything.
I think that when you said Ja'Marr Chase, you might have meant Justin Jefferson. But that's who we had. We had Justin Jefferson here and CeeDee Lamb. Their numbers are so similar in certain areas.
They are so similar. Yeah, they are.
But the thing that stands out to me more than anything else.
I did a graphic of it.
Yeah.
I did a graphic of it for yesterday's show. I compared the two of them together. And yeah, there it is right there. And, you know, it's really kind of one guy. No, I did Hill with Jefferson. That's who I did. I didn't do CeeDee Lamb. But look, the numbers are right there. They're exactly going to be the same. And I think at the end of the day, you know, CeeDee Lamb has a strong case. The negotiation for Lamb and the negotiation based on Jefferson is really going to come down to do this whole notion of how do we value the new money and how do we value the last contract? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Jerry's going to have a problem giving him the Jefferson contract at slightly less than 32. But if he wants 35 hard, which Jefferson doesn't have 35 hard. He has 35 hard in new money, but you have to count the fifth year. You just can't throw that away.
Although people love to do that on Twitter, don't you know? But the thing here that stood out to me most about the difference between CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson was the receiving yards in the six fewer games. That he has nearly 700 more yards in six fewer games. Like I know last year CeeDee Lamb had an unbelievable year, but if Justin Jefferson was on the field for the entire year, who knows what he would have put up as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I thought it was, because to me, Chase has missed some time. Even though he started 16 games last year, he missed one game. I kind of thought it was Chase was going to be in there because he's so dynamic. And
the Ayuk and Chase numbers from last year are like eerily similar as well. So I'll tease you with those. I'll show you those a little bit later on. We got our wide receiver one coming up next, though, on the program. Mike Pritchard. Oh, my gosh. Pritchard joining us. I can speak. It's my job. It's okay. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all of our great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, and right now on the homepage, in-depth betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays, props, or game-by-game breakdowns, we've got you covered. Head to vsin.com today. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in on a week where we're having all the wide receiver talk. Our wide receiver one here at VSiN, Mike Pritchard, joins the program on the Progressive Guest Line. Former NFL wideout, college football national champion at Colorado. Pritch, how much are you and your friends just talking about this week, man? I was born in the wrong generation with how much these wide receivers are getting paid right now.
I mean, Stormy, Michael, great to be with you. Yeah, you said it. I mean, wanting to be born in 1999 instead of 1969, right? But I'm okay. I think we're okay. You know, we have Google stock, we have Microsoft, we have McDonald's, so we're all right. But no, it's fantastic. No, I think what Justin Jefferson is doing and what all these elite playmakers are doing, really, Christian McCaffrey and everybody, it's outstanding. I mean, I I remember my days in the very beginning of all of this, right? When I got to the league, it was free agency was just becoming a thing with the Reggie White situation. And so to see what free agency or revenue sharing or expansion or certainly growth in revenue can do for you, it's incredible what's going on in the National Football League right now.
Mike, let me ask you something. When you go through it and you played the position, right? So you know that there's, you know, Tyreek Hill changes the game. Right. Jefferson changes the game. But there's just a lot of other guys are good, but the good guys are now making elite money. At what point do you say, wait a minute, that this isn't going to work? I mean, Jordan Addison is a first-round pick. Does he get paid? Does Drake London get paid, even though they really haven't tilted the field in their favor? The other guys do.
It's a great question, Michael, but I'm going to throw it back to you in this regard because, like I just mentioned earlier, we're seeing unprecedented growth in the National Football League. The stated goal by these owners is $25 billion annually, right? And they're on the fast track of achieving that goal, too. So I looked at the salary cap. $255 million now. And so if you add in 7% growth in salary cap, like we've seen, next year the salary cap goes up to 273, and then in 2026 it's 292. By the time we get to 2030, and the CBA is over, we're going to see a new CBA. The salary cap is going to be $383 million. How do you manage that as a club? How do you manage a salary cap upwards of almost $400 million? We're going to see so many astronomical contracts. It's going to blow our minds. In the next few years.
I was about to say, if that was the salary cap last year, what would Daniel Jones have gotten paid, Michael?
Well, that's the thing, Stormy. You're going to pay for mediocrity. Yeah. That's what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, right. Is Dak Prescott worth $60 million a year? No, and you have to take yourself and say, no, wait a minute, that's the market. He's not worth it, but the market says this is what he gets paid. And so you got to make decisions, and you only can pay certain positions. You can't pay everybody. So you have to cheat in some other areas, and that's really where it gets a little iffy, right? I mean, and I think to me, I was talking to a coach in the league, you know, who's an offensive coordinator. He's like, look, you know, we had three really good receivers where I was. We couldn't throw the ball because we didn't have a quarterback, and we couldn't protect.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's still – football's a game that comes back to that. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's fascinating to just think about managing a salary cap of $400 million, one. But then, two, what you said, you know, there's a handful of franchise quarterbacks. Like, I think I can count up to about 12 franchise quarterbacks. And there's unique situations with Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, I think, is in a unique situation. And then certainly I'm not adding in the guys that are recently drafted. But in terms of quarterbacks that elevate players around them, in my estimation, there's only one. I mean, I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be yet with that injury, but it's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Josh Allen to an extent, but certain extent. But majority quarterbacks in the National Football League right now, they need a surrounding cast around them to elevate the quarterback play. So that justifies Justin Jefferson because they have a rookie quarterback, and, you know, Devontae Adams because who knows who's going to be quarterback out here with the Raiders. And, you know, Brock Purdy getting elevated with all the weapons that he has. I mean, that is what the league has turned into right now.
And the Vikings, of course, in the unique situation where they are on the rookie deal for their quarterback.
Right.
And so they can afford to pay the big talent wide receiver who does make the quarterback better. With the 49ers and the deal they get done earlier today with Christian McCaffrey adding to what was already the most lucrative running back deal that we've seen in NFL history. Now, naturally, all the questions and the eyes turn back to Brandon Ayuk, who's not there for mandatory minicamp, who's trying to get a deal done. When you have guys like Justin Jefferson, who gets the big contract, CeeDee Lamb, who's expected to be next, Ja'Marr Chase, who's eligible for an extension as well. Where does Brandon Ayuk stack up in this mix to you? Because he's coming off of a career season, best that we've seen from him. He can be that deep field threat. But in some of the category and upper echelon that he wants to be in, where does he stack up with those other wideouts?
Well, I feel for him. I think he's an exceptional route runner. I don't know if he's a true number one elite playmaker like a Justin Jefferson, you know, like AJ Brown, all these guys, but he is a really, really good player, right? And so I feel for him because I know the family. The Shanahan family do not want to pay two wide receivers. They just don't.
Yeah.
And so that is what is the crux of the matter here with Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, they can exercise him, and certainly they can kind of control him with the franchise tag and do all kinds of things. And really, as a player, that's what frustrates you. I think if you're on the fast track of being elite, you have to get upstairs and knock on the door of Michael Lombardi prior to that fifth-year option if you were drafted in the first round and try to get something done, because that's how you're going to escape the control of the franchise. And knowing that Shanahan family, knowing how they work, it's going to be difficult to see Brandon Ayuk get the money that he wants or feels like he deserves.
Yeah, the problem with this contract, Mike, is you have to, it's one of those you want to grow into. He wants to get paid elitely, which free agency would do it. We saw Christian Kirk get an elite contract a couple years ago without a lot of great numbers behind it. But you have to build a contract around, okay, here's where really your number says you should be, but if you continue to play like this, here's where your numbers will be. And it's hard to get players to take that kind of deal because they want it right now. Understandable. And they know if I get the free agency, somebody will pay me that number without a doubt. So that's a hard negotiation to go through. As you look, we had Simon Hunter on yesterday, and we talked about week one. And I know you're considered a professional when it comes to betting. Is there a game in the week one rotation that has just caught your eye that you think is going to be a perfect play?
You know, Michael, the only one I've focused in on so far, because we are so far away, is that Pittsburgh-Atlanta game. I think we talked about that before, right? You know, if you're a Pittsburgh, you're catching, 2.5 points, I think, at the time. I haven't looked at the line recently, but, you know, so many things are going on. You know, Atlanta, are they really going to hit the ground running with Raheem Morris, with Kirk Cousins? Yeah, I think continuity has to speak volumes. At least it does to me when it comes to betting. And knowing how teams would love to have those fast starts and certainly don't have to iron out wrinkles or anything like that. So, to me, there's a lot of wrinkles down there in Atlanta, right? Hot Atlanta right now. whereas Pittsburgh, I think they're recharged, right? And they have this quarterback and Russell Wilson that thinks that he's legendary. And then you got Justin Fields, I think, who's going to push him. But then you have a really, really talented roster with continuity. And when they're healthy on defense, they're as good as it gets out there. So I just think that's an opportunity. If we're looking at lines right now in early month of June.
How important is it at some point in your mind, if you're Justin Fields, to get on the field this season? I mean, both Russell Wilson and Fields are playing essentially for their careers and their next contracts, right? To see what they're going to be. But Fields being the younger player, how important is that for him?
You know, I like this, Stormy, because I think Russell is playing for legacy and Hall of Fame, right? I think Justin's trying to become that guy.
Yeah.
Every man for themselves. I think that's going to be an interesting watch right there to see how these guys coexist and certainly push each other. But, you know, I think Justin's got a ways to go. But this is the kind of offense and certainly the philosophy that is conducive for his type of game. He's a Pop Warner quarterback, meaning he's the best athlete on the field with the ball in his hands. But as far as throwing it and winning from the pocket, I think Pittsburgh wants to rely on Russell in that regard. So I think they'll push each other. Ultimately, Russell will win it. But Justin should be better off for it just from the experience standpoint.
Rich, always always appreciate. I'm having such a hard time today speaking, and it's literally my job, Rich. Appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate you as well. Thank you.
Mike Pritchard on the Lombardi Line. We will be right back counting down the top five players under 25 in the NFL. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Michael, I don't know what's going on with me today. I feel like I've had good energy. Nothing. I've been excited. We've been yelling about the energy. Jets. Yet somehow when I try to go to break, I cannot use my words. What's happening?
Well, you know, sometimes you just kind of get ahead of yourself. I mean, we all make mistakes. I mean, look, we all don't have the perfect day. I certainly don't. Yeah. You know, I'm coming off the dentist. I'm just happy to be here today. Really, seriously, I was thinking about calling John Goulet.
I'm saying, Michael, how does the man who's coming from the dentist, you can speak perfectly today, but it's me, dentist free. Which, by the way, when did this issue with the dentist begin for you? Was it at a young age that they did you wrong?
It's gross. When I was 8 years old, I threw up on the dentist, and I've had this phobia about him ever since. Like, I could still remember being there, and it was like a disgusting, you know, like he started drilling my teeth. And the next thing I know, you know, there it goes. And like, I break in a cold sweat. Like, if I could cancel a dentist appointment, it's probably the greatest thrill of my life, but I needed to go because I had to have a root canal. The day Belichick left the Patriots, I was taken off. And I was getting a root canal, and of course he leaves, and so I had to come in because you got to do it in your line of work. I thought I would be like numbed up forever. I didn't even have Novocaine today, so man. I was pretty proud of myself. Of course, nobody was with me holding my hand or nothing. They could care less. You know how it is. You're on your own, Stormy.
Where's Millie at? Dang, keep fighting the good fight, Michael.
She's over there in the heat with you in Las Vegas. She's over there, you know, helping my son move his stuff from Las Vegas to San Francisco. I was writing in my journal the other day. And I'm like, well, Millie's in Las Vegas. And then I looked up 2 years ago and Millie's in Las Vegas. Like, it's like been like a pattern. Like it's unbelievable. But I just want to clarify, it's not a vacation. She's there working. So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah. So even though she couldn't help you today, she's still helping the family. And that's what's important. No, we give Millie all the love.
Or my dogs or nothing. Yeah. Nobody's helping that. Yes.
Oh, well,
I got to tell you though, you know, when I see these on Instagram, not to change the subject, but on Instagram, when people announce that their dog died, it just breaks my heart. Yeah. Doesn't it break yours?
Yeah, every time. It's the same
thing.
Who did
I see the other day?
I was just saying, it's the same thing in movies. When a dog dies, people get more emotional than when there's like all these people dying. It's a weird thing.
I'm turning it off. I was watching this. It's a really good show on Apple called Sugar. Really good. It's interesting. And there's a dog early in it. And I said to Millie, if something happens to that dog, I'm done watching this show. Like, I'm not watching this if something happens to the dog. So, fortunately, spoiler alert, nothing happened.
That was me and I Am Legend. Devastating. Okay, we have to get to the sports things now. Somebody who is having a better day than both of us is certainly Justin Jefferson, who yesterday became the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, according to the reports and the money that has been publicized, right? All before his 25th birthday, which inspired an idea for our Lombardi's list today, the top five players under 25. Now, we're excluding Jefferson from this conversation. We're excluding quarterbacks as well. I wanted you to hone in on some other positions. We talk quarterbacks a little bit too much here. So let's go top to bottom, Michael. Lombardi's list, top players under 25.
Well, I think it starts with Andrew Thomas, left tackle of the New York Football Giants. Really a good player. Can play left tackle. Was hurt last year for early in the season. He turns 25 on January 2nd. This year he just did on January 22nd, 2024. But he's a legitimate big-time left tackle. And when you have one of those guys on your team, you usually can move the football, and that's a critical position. And so I think he's really one of the best young players under 25 and under.
Well, and despite missing a chunk of games with the hamstring, he was like the lone bright spot for this Giants offensive line. Yep. And it's a line that's been bad for years. And so hopefully he can be that foundational piece that some of these other young guys who are coming in can step up. Like, will John Michael Schmitz get better? Will Evan Neal get better? There's a lot of questions, but hopefully he can be the centerpiece there. The Giants win total this year sitting at 6.5. Who's next on your list?
Micah Parsons. I mean, he turns 20, just had his 25th birthday on May 26th this year. But this is a guy who's going to be the highest paid defensive player. He will get above Nick Bosa only because Bosa's contract is older. And the versatility with Parsons, he can move around and do different things. And he doesn't really play a position. He plays everywhere. So, you know, this is a really good player. I'm happy to see that he's not going to give away $150,000, $100,000. Why should you give that up when you're going to camp? It's not that hard. Keep your money, save it. Don't do what Lamb's doing. Don't do what Ayuk's doing. It's stupid. Don't do what Courtland Sutton. Like, what's Courtland Sutton thinking about? Seriously, I was thinking about that. Like, who's he holding out from? He's hurt half the time anyway. Like, what are you holding out for? What do you, you hold your services when you're really playing. So stop. Anyway, my next player is on Denver, Patrick Surtain, who doesn't turn 25 until April 14 next year. This is a really good player. My two next players are corners, Patrick Surtain and Sauce Gardner. Both corners, both don't turn 25 until next year. Surtain in April, Sauce turns it in August. So they're really good. They can play man-to-man. They can play zone. They've got length. They can close. They're what I call complete corners. You know, I break corners down into two categories, breakfast corner and dinner corner. The breakfast corner has to win early in the route. The dinner corner can win late in the route at the top of the stem. These two guys are any meal corners. They can win early and they can win late, and they're very effective. And then one of my favorite players in the league, and it was a debate back and forth. The next two were debatable on where they should go. The Penei Sewell, 25 on October 9th next year, 25th, October 9th, 2025. Right tackle, left tackle, want to play him at guard. Outstanding player. I thought the Bengals should have drafted him, but instead they went with another really good young player, Ja'Marr Chase, who turns 25 on March 1st of next year. So those guys, to me, are really elite. And we look at, and four of them, Stormy, are 24 years old going into this season, which is really remarkable. But they are blue chips. They're at the top five of their positions, which is critical, right? Top five. Like, they go into the game, they can tilt the field in their favor.
A couple players who did not make your list that I feel like, based on what we've seen from them so early in their careers, should in the near future, Puka Nacua and Aiden Hutchinson. Do you think they're creeping, could be on the list soon?
Yeah, they were definitely going to be in the top 10. Puka, I was so mad at myself after the show yesterday for not talking about Puka. Like, everybody just feels like you got to pay the receivers. Like, Cooper Kupp's a third-round pick. Puka goes in the fifth round, you know, and this guy takes the world by storm. Like, that's the thing I don't understand. There is a huge supply of receivers out there because kids are playing receiver. There's a lot of kids play receivers. And so I would have thought there would be more people would take the Green Bay approach. Find receivers in the second and the third round. Keep that economically down because the supply is so high. Unless you get a number one receiver. Like, is Jordan Addison a number one receiver? Is Drake London a number one? You picked him in the first round. Are they number one? I don't think so. I think they're good players and you want them on your team. I don't think they changed the game, though.
I want to go back to those corners. You have Sauce Gardner and Pat Surtain both on there. No Trent McDuffie, who's also under 25 right now. How far off is he?
Could have been there.
Okay.
He's right there, but McDuffie's a little unique in the sense that they call him a nickel corner, which he plays all the time. He's the star. He doesn't play outside corner. He plays inside. And so, but he's a really good player. I mean, he helps their defense. Could he go outside? I think it's going to be interesting to see how they play him this year. I kind of was holding off on him. Mm-hmm. I really want to see now that Snead's gone, I want to see how they're going to play him.
I still love your all-meal corner. Like, that's great. I know that we've done the breakfast and dinner, but the all-meal corner, he can do it regardless of the situation, is great.
Yeah, Revis was one of the few guys in the world that could do that. You know, there was an era in the 70s where everybody was a breakfast corner because the rules allowed you to beat the crap out of the receivers at the line of scrimmage. But when they changed the rule, all of a sudden guys could win. Like, Diggs is a really good top corner at the top of the route because he does such a good job of reading the quarterback and understanding where he's going with the ball.
I know I'm putting you on the spot with this one, but for you right now, who's the top corner in the league overall?
I think it's Surtain. I really do. I
obviously
Jake Gardner's really good, But Gardner gets a little help. Last year, he got a lot of help from Bryce Huff. You know, this year, is Hassan Reddick going to give him much help? I don't know. Maybe somebody call him up on the phone and ask. I don't know. But both those guys are really good. They're elite, and they can go into the game. And what makes them elite is you could say, okay, we're going to play what we call three Mabel. You got this guy over here on this side. Everybody else is playing zone over here.
Fun exercise, another great edition of Lombardi's List. Remember, everybody at home, if you missed any of the show today, you can always download the Lombardi Line as well as the GM Shuffle in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. That's a wrap for us today. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, Stormy.